It's phonology around the campfire, because the advantage of doing an online class is that you can do it anywhere, right? So this is our campfire. I don't know if you can hear it. Oh yeah, you give a little roar right there. So I have willing participants. Willing participants?
Yes.
I have joyfully willing participants here.
There was much rejoicing.
Yeah.
Yay. And we're going to do a few phonology problems. We're going to do some talk-throughs. All these people have, like you, have read the stuff. And so I have to admit my spouse is a ringer. But they've all read the stuff here. We have two people around the fire with me. They've read the stuff, and so they're ready to sort of look at the phonology problems. I brought five with me, just so you know what the limit is here. After five phonology problems, you are released. So just as a reminder for you all, my online people. So the difference between phonetics and phonology is basically that phonetics is just a bunch of sounds, transcribing whatever and listening to whatever comes out of the person's mouth. You don't care if they know what it is, if they understand it, if it has meaning, if there's any patterns, it doesn't matter. Straight phonetics. You can do phonetics on any language without knowing anything about it. Just listen, if you're one of those people that's really good at it, just listen to what the person says and transcribing. You don't have to know where the word breaks are. You don't have to know anything to do phonetics above the phonetics level. When people started doing really close transcriptions, though, they began to discover patterns that certain things only occurred at certain places. Okay, hang on, the marshmallow crowd is coming. Okay, marshmallows have been distributed, but small children might come wandering back in at any point. So when people started doing close phonetic transcriptions, they began to notice patterns that, for example, some sounds would occur adjacent to other sounds and not in other environments. Hi, guys. Okay, they're fine. When you look at those patterns, that's how phonemes were sort of discovered. So capturing those patterns, which are different from every language, is what phonology is all about. And what you discovered from your readings is the way of doing phonology problems. So how do you take a bunch of things that are transcribed in a language and decide whether those sounds contrast, whether the native speaker is aware of them, or whether the native speaker is not aware of the difference between the sounds? So a phoneme is a group of sounds, and those sounds occur in complementary distribution, meaning that you kind of know where to put each one. If you're looking at a word, you know what kind of variety of that segment to put in a particular place. So that's the sort of the short story. And I have some phonology problems here. I'm going to hand this to you. I'm going to hand this to you. So my friend has the first phonology problem. I'm going to let her look at it while I remind you what the process is. So for things to be indifferent, for segments to be in different phonemes, they have to contrast with one another. You find a minimal pair, and pairs contrast. Think about contrasting pairs. I think one of the things that gets people with this stuff is they think about pairs being complementary to one another, and they're not. We don't think of it that way. Pairs of words, you're looking at a minimal pair, which is a pair of words that differ only in that one has one of those segments and the other one has the other one. So things like rhyming words are minimal pairs, like pat and bat. Words with the difference being only at the end are minimal pairs, like mop and mob. And you can also do it with vowels, like bit and beat. Bit and beat is a minimal pair showing that it and e are different phonemes in English. So you're going through the set and you find that something is a minimal pair. Find a pair of words that differs only in that one has one segment and the other has the other, and bango, you're done. You know that those are allophones with separate phonemes.
Bango?
Bango, yeah, bingo, bango.
It's like a complementary pair with, it's like one of those, it's a minimal pair with bingo.
Yeah, bingo,
Bingo's a
bango.
word.
Bango is a word, isn't it?
I don't know.
Bango is definitely a word. I'm a linguist. I say it's a word, by gum. It's in my backyard. This is the territory on the
Your
planet where
fire.
bango is a word. It's not my fire. I didn't make the fire. Okay, so if you're looking for a minimal pair, if you find one, then bingo bango. Those segments are in, they contrast, and they're different phonemes. So Peggy's looking at Neverlang, with cleverly titled Neverlang, which is the first screen you'll see when you look at the five phoneme problems. I'm gonna move closer to you so you can hear
Okay,
it.
now
So.
I'm looking at Notalang.
Oh, it's Notalang. That's right. It's not Neverlang. It's Notalang. Notalang, which you could tell she's had a little phonetic training because she didn't say Notalang, which is what I thought when I wrote it. And then I realized later, oh, you wrote that with an O, didn't you? So it's Notalang. Okay, so Notalang. So you're looking for K and G. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to move closer to you. I'm hovering. I'm hovering ominously over her. Well, I could sit companionably by her side. That'd be better. Okay, so what do you see for Notalang?
I'm looking at the K's and G's, and I'm not finding a word that differs just... Yeah, this one has an L with a Z. Yeah, L's and Z's are...
L's and Z's are, we can ignore the L's and Z's.
Yeah. Okay, something that differs only in the K and G.
The super tedious way of doing this is you look at the first word and look all the way down the list and see if anything matches. Look at the second word, look all the way down. That's the way a computer would do it.
Okay. I'm not finding anything that contrasts here. Was I supposed to?
Well, keep looking.
Right. Because
if you don't find anything, then we have to start looking for the pattern.
Okay. Hmm.
So do you see them both, for example, in word initial position? Do you see both K's and G's at the beginnings of words?
Okay, yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. So we know that whatever's going on, they can both occur word initially. Mm-hmm. Okay. Finding the middle pair can sometimes be the most time-consuming thing, if it's there, because you don't know when to give up looking, right? Mm. It's hard to know when to stop looking for something. How do you know when you've not found it?
Okay, yes, okay, now I see it, yes, because number 3 is Catawba and 7 is Gautama, and they differ only in that first segment, and so they do contrast.
Right, so then you move to the next sort of logical step. If two things contrast, you can swap them in to make different words.
Right.
They are that difference is psychologically real to people, so then we can say about them, are they different phonemes or allophones of the same phoneme? Which way do they go?
They are clearly not allophones of the same phoneme.
Correct.
Because they mean two different things.
Right, right. So the you can use that difference to make different words. It's psychologically real to people, so they are different phonemes. Very good. You can throw that. Your reward for doing that right is you can throw that paper in the fire.
Oh, my goodness.
I recommend crumpling it first.
Crumpling it and throwing it.
Oh, my God. It's in there now.